Your heart beats faster and faster.
Live from the haunted backroads of America, it's Sunday night, gang. You know where your ghost hunters are because this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, yeah, paranormal broadcasting, where if it wasn't paranormal before we got there, it will be when we leave.
We are live once again in studio, and we'll be in the G&D chat room all night long, guys.
That's right. You can get to that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Right, and just in case, ladies, in case you were wondering, this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
Oh, and this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, May 18th broadcast of the G&D Show.
Are you ready for it, Sean? The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, I Am Haunted, and Planet Paranormal, and is recorded for I Am Haunted, Planet Paranormal, Blog Talk, and Para X Radio.
Okay, guys, ready for this? Every week, I swear to God, it gets longer and longer, Nathan. But tonight's guest, first up the bat, guys, we got Brad Steiger. This cat is the author of so many books, I can't even mention it. But I'm going to tell you, they're about werewolves, ghosts, aliens, and much, much more. So you got to stay tuned for this guy. He's been on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Just get ready for that. Then a little later, guys, get those crosses and garlic ready. We're heading down south, deep on the bayou, where the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sit down to go one-on-two with a real-life vampire. That's right, guys. Belphazar Ashatison, elder of the House of Mystic Echoes, and founder of NOVA, New Orleans Vampire Association, joins the Ghostman and Demon Hunter tonight.
Ooh. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal podcast, broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what, Demon Hunter? I just thought about this today. When you came out with the idea for our little show here over a year ago and you were telling me about it, I thought, yeah, it's a good idea. We'll have some good stuff and get some good times. But I never thought in a million years that I would be out at McDonald's with my children and a real-life vampire would call me on my cell phone. But he did. Nonetheless, he called, and he's a cool cat, guys. And I just got to say, I don't know any other shows out there that will bring you a live vampire in studio, Demon Hunter. Do you know of any? Because I don't.
You know, I don't know of any, but there may be. I'm not going to claim we're the only one, but
right. I am, for lack of better knowledge.
Yes, so well, as far as Sean's concerned, ignorance isn't an excuse because he's been claiming it for a while now.
I just got to say, man, this has been a crazy weekend. It was Daddy's weekend with the boys, so of course I had the two tots out today, and I was looking at stuff to do, and of course they didn't want to talk to the vampire like Dad wanted to, so we talked to the vampire for a while, and then we were off to the Franklin, Indiana roller skate capital of the world.
Now, wait a minute. The kids didn't want to talk to a vampire?
Well, Nathan, apparently my son's name, Devin, the oldest one, he was like, "Who are you talking to, Dad?" And I said, "It's a vampire for tonight's show." And he goes, "Are they real?" And you know what? For the first time in my life, guys, I didn't know what to tell my son. Because apparently they are. And they're coming on the G&D show. That's all I can say.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, you know, one of those times when your kid looks at you and they're like, "Dad, are ghosts real? Because I think the boogeyman's in my closet." And you're like, "Well, son, it's very actually, you probably what you've seen was an orb. So it was probably a dust particle. But on the other hand, ghosts are very real."
That's right. That's
and so
right
are there. Vampires.
Yes.
And
yes,
zombies. Are. Zombies are, too. I'm actually working on getting a zombie on the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. I got to dig that one up.
Oh, Sean. Sean, I would have forgiven you right up to I have to dig that one up, but...
I know, but guys, I got to tell you, Nathan, you've been listening to me complain all week long, and this week's been crazy. I barely talked to my brother Nate on the phone, which we talk at least two or three times a week usually, and this week was just hectic, and I got home Thursday night, and I come home, and there's a bag of corn nuts. Do you guys know what corn nuts are, Demon Hunter?
I know what corn nuts are.
Okay, corn nuts are the little bitty hard, salty whatever that you snack on, right? Little hard particles of corn or whatever. So I threw them in my mouth, and I'm eating, and I'm like, man, I really shouldn't eat these. I should save them for the kids. So I said, just one more handful. So I throw the other handful in my mouth, and I crunch down, and I hear, uh-oh. What's that? The whole back of my tooth. Okay, first of all, it felt like my entire jaw structure shattered. Okay, I felt the ground move, the earth move, Venus was aligned with Mars, whatever. But apparently, guys, when I got this, you know, we've all had cavities back in the day, and apparently they used to replace those cavities with the metal fillings. So I had the big gray metal part back there. I don't know who came up with that, because if you have a cavity, it looks black anyway. So it looks like you got a bunch of rotten teeth back there. But anyway, it broke down the integrity of my tooth. And the whole back half of the tooth just blew out on this corn nut. So I don't know, Demon Hunter. I don't know if I can sue the Corn Nut Corporation or what. But I'm looking into it.
I would if I were you.
I know. I think they're going to fund the G&D show. That's our new angle. That's what we're... So if you're listening, Corn Nuts, we're coming for you. But anyway, I had to miss work Friday. So apparently the company I work for goes into dismay when the ghost man's not there, and they had to close down the place, of course, because they can't replace me. And I had to go into the dentist, so I called him for an early morning appointment. And anybody knows anything about the dentist, I hate them. And you need to hate them too with me, America. You hear me? Because the drills and the – have you ever smelt that smell, Demon Hunter?
I have smelt that smell.
What is it? I would say it's tooth dust.
It kind of tastes like they're digging the carbon out of our, like, the very cells of our body, and it's just spraying up into our nostrils.
Yeah, well, you know what? The dentist comes out, and he's talking to me. He's a cool cat, and he's sitting down there. He's like, hey, you know, we start talking about ghosts. We start talking about all kinds of stuff. And then he brings out Mr. Needle. Now, anybody that's ever known anything, when you went to the dentist, they got this big metal needle with the finger holes. I guess for the dentist won't slip on the needle when he's jabbing it through your freaking jawline. You know what I mean? So he brings out this needle. I think it's a 12-gauge. And he jabs it into my jaw. And I'm, you know, trying to be cool. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't hurt at all or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and he's injecting me. And finally he pulls it out. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to let you sit for a couple minutes. Let us know when your lip goes numb.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, well, the entire right side of my head goes numb, but not my lip, not where he's going to be working. So, you know, I'm used to my head being numb anyway. Then I'm...
I'm but, used to that too, Sean. I'm used to that too.
But anyway, he had to inject me at least 7 times with that needle under my tongue, into the jawline, whatever they do. I finally went numb. I was numb until like midnight, Friday night. But that cat went in there, and he poked, and he dug, and he prodded, and everything else. And, you know, he told me, he gave me 2 options. He was like, well, we could do a root canal. And they sent in the girl, and the girl was sitting there telling me the prices on things. And I have insurance, folks. And the prices they quoted me, I was telling Demon Hunter about this earlier, I was like, you know what, how much just to pull the darn thing? Just get it out of there. And, of course, the dentist comes in, and he starts telling me, listen, brother, you don't want to pull this. You know, you got good teeth, and you might be able to keep them for the rest of your life. That you kept them this long, and when you pull one tooth, they all kind of go in, I guess. They start gapping in or whatever. So I was like, okay, let's just fix it up. So they figured out they didn't need to do a root canal. But, my God, it felt like NASA had opened up another space program in my mouth when he was done Friday.
I had 2 root canals last year, Sean, if you remember. I actually, didn't I have to take a... No, I came on the show even with the root canals just having been done. If I
really?
Recall, yeah. It was.
Well, I believe...
I had them done on Friday. I did the show on Sunday.
Well, you're a little trooper, aren't you? A little army man. But listen, I believe I seen God and spoke with him Friday about the show. Is what he wanted to talk about, and he said we're going in the wrong direction.
Well, I could have told you God was going to say that.
I know, I know. But the big man said we're going in the wrong direction. But he listens in every Sunday night at 9 o'clock, apparently. So, God, if you're listening, we love you.
Well, you know, if he could just get some of his friends to listen, too, and boost our ratings, that'd be really great.
I know, I know. Apparently, you don't like it, but we're huge in China. You realize that, right?
That's right, that's right. We're real big in China. That's right. I forgot all about that.
Big everywhere but the continental United States. But, yeah, man, I got that done. So thank you, Corn Nuts, once again from the bottom of my heart for shattering my tooth. And let's see, what else happened? Oh, today, like I said, it was Daddy's weekend with the boys, so we went down to the roller skating capital of the world, Franklin, Indiana, and they have this huge skating rink. So I took my 3-year-old and my 6-year-old out there for the first time, and I just got to say, guys, men were not meant to travel on skates. On wheels. Unless there's a steering wheel behind it, men just weren't meant to do it. Because when I walked into the place, Nate, he told me, he said, listen, I said, I just want to go out there with my flip-flops and take the kids around the rink, you know, walk them around or whatever. He said, oh, no, no. The American Association of whatever. You realize all these places got an American Association of something. This was the American Association of Skaters International, Hoffa, United, Teamsters, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, they said that I had to wear skates. So not only did I, and everybody knows, I used to play a little ice hockey so I can ice skate, but guys, I haven't been on roller skates in at least 10 years, 10 to 11 years. So not only did I have to watch the boys, the 3 and the 6-year-old, on their first time on roller skates, but I had to watch myself, and I didn't want to fall on my butt in front of my kids, right? So I'm taking it real slow, and it was kind of cool because I had to hold their hand and stuff, so it gave me an excuse to go slow, you know. And I was laughing at Devin and Drake as they went around. And, of course, guys, if you have 3-year-olds or someone around there that age, don't take them roller skating because Drake actually kicked, you know, the old man. They always got an old man up in the DJ booth.
That's right.
You know, doing the mixes and stuff. And he came out and he was getting jiggy with it, I guess. And he came out on the planks there, beating the pavement, whatever you call that little wood arena they put you in. But he came out and he walked up to Drake. And Drake kind of looked at him. He said, hey, little guy, how you doing? And that's when my youngest son proceeded to put his, you know, the little rubber stopper at the front of the skate?
Yes, I know that thing.
Well, he proceeded to dig that into the man's knee. It must have been like a 74. So, yeah, Drake was
doing a whole lot. He's got daddy's personality. That's great.
So after I apologized to the old man, we kept on doing the funky chicken or whatever around it. But I tell you what, man, I never felt so alive being back out there on roller skates with the 13-year-olds, you know, trying to hook up. And they had the disco lights going. I wasn't trying to hook up. The 13-year-olds were. But,
well, you know,
I truly felt like an old man amongst the kids out there today.
I wanted to bring up with you, Sean, if you're done now, if we're done with the Sean Burris show, if I can contribute something.
Well, we're actually never done with Sean Burris show, but go ahead.
I was just made aware this week of something on MySpace, as Ghostly Talk likes to call it, Satan Space, that you can now buy and sell your friends, or maybe you can just buy them and it's to the highest bidder. On MySpace.
Like we were in jail together, Demon Hunter. I sold you for a Snicker bar and a pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah, but I was real lucky who I got sold to, Sean. I was really sorry for who you got sold to. I mean,
I know.
It'll heal. It'll heal. But
still walking funny.
I just thought you always walked funny. But I don't want to actually get into this program where you buy and sell people, but I was kind of like interested because every time I'd come on, there'd be a new comment on that says, you know, you've been bought. Hey, I bought you this and that. And finally, I just asked one of our friends who had purchased me, how much I was worth. And they told me the total. And I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. I'm worth that much money. And she said, yeah, but I had to stop trying to bid for Sean. He's too expensive now.
Really?
So, apparently you are, like, much, much more expensive than I am. So, really? Remember, folks, when we are out there meeting us at the conference, I'm the cheap date. And, but I'm here tonight, Sean, smoking my cigar of the week. This week it's a Camacho Havana.
Did you say a macho Havana?
Camacho.
Camacho. Now, is that Havana big in the
It's not a large ring, but it's long. So it's not the girth, it's the length, it's the girth in this kit.
Oh, God, I've heard it all. I swear to God, if God could talk to me again, and I'm going back June 2nd, he's going to tell me that I didn't listen, Demon Hunter, and I'm going to have to pay for your sins. And
you know, I was also in the dentist last week, Sean, because I also broke a tooth. So obviously, folks, I can't even break a tooth without Sean having to copy me. But,
I know, it was on me.
I know.
You broke your tooth on me. It's my chiseled thighs.
Oh, Sean.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
And they certainly don't represent me. But I was in there and God spoke to me while I was in there getting the pick jammed in between those two teeth, trying to clean them out. And God told me that he wasn't talking to you this week. So I don't know who contacted you, but I really think you ought to check that out, because that still small voice might not have been who you thought it was.
I don't know, but I know God looked an awful lot like a hot dental hygienist, a blonde. And I asked him, I said, God, I didn't think he would look like that, but I guess he could. He could look like anybody he wanted to. And all I got to say is, God, you know my digits. That's all. Call me anytime.
Hey, before we get into the weird location of the week, Sean, I want to tell you one other thing I discovered this week. And this really ticked me off when I discovered this. Now, if you're chewing bubble gum,
yeah,
what do you expect to be the main ingredient of that bubble gum?
Well, blubber.
Well, I would expect it to be resin from a gum tree. Wouldn't that be what you would expect gum to be made of? Gum.
I don't know, college boy. You lost me. Yeah, okay, gum.
But this week, watching television, they did a special how it's made and stuff like that. And apparently, when you buy that nice big chunk of pink bubblegum now, the number one ingredient in it is plastic.
Are you kidding me?
They have replaced the gum resin with plastic.
Uh-huh.
It lasts longer and is just as chewy.
So I've been swallowing plastic for how many years now?
Well, I don't know when they changed it, Sean. I really don't know when they changed it, but I'm a little annoyed. I'm a little annoyed because I am a big gum fan. Whenever I can't have a cigarette or a cigar, you know, if I'm inside at work or something, I want gum to keep me from going insane and having to kill somebody. Sean,
right?
Put the toys away.
That was a request from the chat room, Hunter. I was told to fart on you, and I did. We are here to please.
Why do
folks.
You encourage him, folks? Why? But do you have any news this week, Sean, before we go to the weird location of the week?
You know what? Actually, I didn't do my research in true Ghostman and Demon Hunter fashion, but I did have a story from last week that I brought in. It's not that fresh off the presses, guys, but I wanted to talk about it. It's called Walpurgis Night. It's the other Halloween. And I thought this is intriguing because everybody that listens to the show is a fan of Halloween, ghosts and goblins and all that stuff. And it says the night of April 30th is the year's other night of witches, spells, and magic. There's a penetrating chill in the wind. The bright moon rises behind the shivering, nearly naked trees. A profound sense of foreboding permeates the darkness. This is the night, after all, when witches ride their broomsticks through the sky and the natural world is forced to confront the powers of the supernatural. No, it isn't October 31st, guys. And this is not Halloween. It's April 30th, and it's Walpurgis Night. Like Halloween, Walpurgis Night has its roots in ancient pagan customs, superstitions, and festivals. At this time of year, the Vikings participated in a ritual that they hoped would hasten the arrival of spring weather and ensure fertility for their crops and livestock. They would light huge bonfires in hopes of scaring away evil spirits.
Now, you didn't tell me that this was a Viking thing, Sean. The W then would sound like a V. Valpurgis.
I didn't know that, Demon Hunter, but you know I have an attraction to Viking women. So if there's any listening out there and you want to rape and pillage my village, come on over. But anyway, but the name Valpurgis apparently comes from a very different source. In the 8th century, a woman named Valburger found the Catholic convent of This is where it's going to get hard, guys. Heidenheim in Württemberg, Germany. She herself later became a nun and was known for speaking out against witchcraft and sorcery. She was canonized a saint on May 1st, 779. I'm sorry, 1779. Since the celebration of her sainthood and the old Viking festival occurred around the same time, over the years, the festival and the traditions intermingled until the hybrid pagan Catholic celebration became known as Valborgism. Or...
I'd like to apologize right now for all our Norse pagan listeners and people of Nordic descent. I blame Sean Burris. I don't have the paper in front of me. And...
Well, I tried to get him on the show to talk about this. Valpurgis Night. Although not widely known in the U.S., this May Eve night shares many of the traditions of Halloween and is, in fact, directly opposite Halloween on the calendar. According to the ancient legends, this night was the last chance for witches and their notorious cohorts to stir up trouble before spring reawakened the land. They were said to congregate on Brocken, the highest peak in Harz Mountains, a tradition. I've never slaughtered a story like this before. This is a new one for us. Anyway,
I can mute myself. Hold on.
A tradition that comes from Ghostfaust. In the story, the demon Mephistopheles.
Go ahead. You got that one right.
Brings Faust to Brocken to consort with the coven of witches, guys. But apparently, I just thought that was cool because there's another Halloween night. It's called Walpurgis or Valpurgis, if you're a demon hunter. And it's on April 30th, guys. So we can actually celebrate Halloween twice. And Marcy in the chat room says, don't drink and read. So
I've been trying to tell him that for the longest time, Marcy. I really have. But,
well, Demon Hunter, I got to tell you, this is crazy because the whole thing is words Valborgamasmasman and Whoppersnatch. Whoppersnatch. I can't. You know, I didn't want to say that on air. I'm just saying.
Okay. Whatever you say. Okay, Sean. And with that dead air, let me talk about this week's weird location of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Weird location of the week will be in Prim Valley, Nevada. Now, I'm reading, so this is Sean's turn to make fun of me for the rest of this discussion. But after the notorious outlaws Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow were ambushed in Gibbsland, Louisiana, in 1934... Louisiana. In 1934, the Ford sedan they were driving was sent around the country under the sponsorship of the National Anti-Crime Association to show what might happen to you if you chose to lead a life of crime. After that, after the tour was over, the car was given back to its owner, Ruth Warren, who sold it for $3,500. Now think about when this was, folks. $3,500, a lot of money for a beat-up car. The bullet-ridden vehicle was sent to a carnival in Cincinnati, where it stood until the early 40s when public interest in the two famous gun-toting duos, the gun-toting duo, waned. In 1952, the car was sold to Ted Totty. This time, it was to promote his new movie called Killers All. The 1934 Ford was hauled around the country and shown off at each premiere. The car eventually was put into storage in Atlanta until 1967, when it was pulled out of mothballs by the Warner Brothers Productions to promote the release of the Warner Brothers production of their release of Bonnie and Clyde. Currently, it is displayed in Prim Valley Casino, where various Bonnie and Clyde memorabilia stand around it. The sedan is encased in glass with two rather stiff-looking dummies propped against it. Also on display in the casino is the 1932 Lincoln four-door sedan owned by Al Capone and Dutch Schultz. This car, though still showing off some bullet holes, is less damaged than the twisted metal of Bonnie and Clyde's car. This is because Al was a little smarter and knew enough to build a bulletproof vehicle. Okay. So, If you want to check out Bonnie and Clyde's car, you can hop on over to Prim Valley, Nevada, or you can head on over to our friends Mark and Mark at WeirdUS and WeirdNewJersey.com, www.weirdus.com. Tell them that the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter sent you, and tell them any weird stuff you have. So,
I got some weird stuff for them.
Everything that comes from Sean Burris is weird. What can I say?
What are you going to do, Demon Hunter? I don't know. You want to talk about my tooth again? Because I can go all night about that.
No, Sean, I don't want to talk about your tooth. You know, when you talk about stuff like that, it kind of reminds me of when I bring a coat into the dry cleaners with a spot on it, and I tell them I want the spot out, and I go to pick it up, and they lay it out and say, well, we cleaned it, but we couldn't get the spot out, and now they want to get paid anyway.
What about Valpersnatch Night? You want to talk about that?
No, that's okay, Sean. I just want to know why I would pay for a coat that has a spot on it. I don't get the coat back if I don't pay, but then again, I don't want the coat anyway because it's got a spot on it, and they won't do any more of my laundry if I don't pay them, but they didn't get the spot out, so I don't want to pay them. And this reminds me of your story, Sean. We finished it. We're past it. Nobody wants to hear anymore, but you still want to talk about it.
That's all I got, brother. You got to listen to it and like it.
That was a long way to get around to tell Sean, no, I don't want to talk about your tooth anymore. What I want to do, Sean, is I want to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's coming up with Gigi and Inside the Horror.
Okay, let's do it, guys. Stick around. We got your very own Gigi in the house next with the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Show.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
The objective is to kill men.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his handprints appear across the face.
Really scary here. I mean, Nevada is scary. The woods and the steel are safe. It's very short. It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not freaking human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glissell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
This is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark Moran and Mark Skirman from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
That's outstanding.
Oh, yes, as the sunshine sets on another beautiful Sunday, this is the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for sending me that message, Sean, while I was busy working, because I didn't get it till too late.
That's what I do, Demon Hunter. Hey, did I bother to mention, guys, in the Stanley Cup Finals today, we found out, and this came from the beautiful Bonnie Joe, the Penguins have advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they wait, that's right, they await mine and beautiful Bonnie's Detroit Red Wings to advance, and of course, they got their next game coming up this week, and we're all excited about that. Yeah, yeah, go Wings. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I mean, hey, what? Once again, we're talking about sports on the air.
Paranormal.
Oh, well, let's, you know, Gigi, why don't you give me a word here? See if we can hear you there. Apparently, Gigi doesn't have a microphone, so I'm going to have to call her back on her phone, Sean.
Well, you call her back, and I'm going to keep talking like I do, Demon Hunter, because that's how I get down. You know what I'm saying? Everybody loves to hear my voice. They know about it.
Hello.
Hello, Gigi, is that you?
Did I finally get back on?
You finally got back on. Oh, hold on.
Nathan's calling you again. Pick up the other line.
Should I do it with both? Should I do stereo?
You should. You should surround sound.
I'm just freaking out. I've been messing with everything because my mic just kind of went boom, kaput.
Oh, like, what were you doing with your mic this weekend that made it go kaboom?
Hey, what happens under the Gorgon tunnel stays under the Gorgon tunnel, right?
All right, Gigi. But, you know, Sean didn't let me know right away that I was supposed to call you on your cell phone, so I never got to ask the important question of the evening.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, Twin City. Yo, boys, 5'9".
Well, apparently, as soon as I find out, it's too late for Demon Hunter to know about it.
That's right. I need to know yesterday, Sean. I need to know yesterday.
I need ESPN.
It was the craziest thing. Like, it is working fine. And all of a sudden, like, right before showtime, I'm like, no. No, of course. Right before showtime, right. It doesn't work.
Well, that's okay, Gigi. While I was trying to fix your coming on, I accidentally disconnected our phone line. So before our guests come on, I'll have to fix that. But right now, we're not available on the phone. But that's okay, because nobody was listening on the phone lines right now. Anyway. So I'm sure everybody out there in Radioland needed to hear that. But so how was your weekend or your week, Gigi?
It was awesome, guys. Oh yeah, man. I can't remember what I did. I'm like, what did I do? Oh, you know, went to a psychic fair. Just basically did Gigi things. I don't know. Hung out cemetery, scared kids. You know, the usual.
Did they tell you? Did the psychic tell you Sunday night you would be talking to a tall, dark, handsome man?
Because she lied.
No, but you know what she could have. You know what she could have said? Right before showtime, your mic will not work.
Yeah, she could have said. I guess she didn't see that coming, did she?
I guess I'm not very psychic.
Go tell that psychic you want your money back. Hey, Gigi, you want to hear this week's international friends?
I do.
I only have a few international friends for this week. I only pulled a few out just before the show, but we have friends in London, England. We have friends
in
Sydney, Australia. And although this isn't international, it's technically national, I thought it very interesting that we had friends in Swart, Alaska.
Swart?
S-E-W-A-R-D, Swart.
Oh. Is this like, Manila?
Manila was correct, I'll have you know. I checked it out.
Yeah, no. In Manila. I wasn't saying like you saying it. I was just the fact that it was Manila. Yeah. I don't know. I found that humorous.
Maybe I am very happy we have friends in Manila, Philippines.
I am too. Apparently they like Sean's 13-year-old potty humor. So.
Apparently. It's big in Manila. You're big in Manila, Sean.
You're big in Manila.
That's what I
think. I have shirts made. I'm big in Manila.
Yeah. A Thriller in Manila, the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, Gigi, I thought you might like to know. I went to see a movie this week.
Okay, I can't handle all this excitement, okay? I cannot handle it. It was a
pornographic movie. You can't talk about that on the air.
No, Sean. It certainly was not pornographic, because Gigi had me so worked up about the Narnia series that I went out and saw Prince Caspian this week.
You did not. You
I did. I did. And I got to say that despite the fact that it's really cool to go in and sit in those big movie theaters and stuff, $21 for two people to get into the movies is just ridiculous.
Where did you go? Were the seats made of gold where you went to see this movie?
It was our local Cineplex.
Your local? How much were tickets?
$10.50 per person.
Do they have people who mop the floors in the Cineplex? Mop boys? Do they?
No, Sean. This is a real movie Cineplex, not the one you're used to going to.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Sean.
Oh, my God.
I gotta pose my finger over
while
the button here for
to
Sean.
I drink my orange monster. That's why I didn't have a smart phrase right there. I just was drinking. So.
Yes, well, that's okay. Smart phrases get lost on Sean. So.
Right.
Well, that's true. I've noticed.
Oh, my God. I know.
Oh, Sean. You know we love to tease you.
Whatever.
Because it's so easy.
He's already signing a contract with some other radio show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I hate the people I do the show with.
I hate them.
In therapy? Why does Nathan always pick on me?
They smell funny, and Nathan, you can hear him lighting cigarettes the whole show long.
No, it's
like
just
nicotine when I'm done with the show, and I don't even smoke.
It's just a cigar, dude. It's just one cigar for the whole show now.
Hey, it's Nathan, is that cigar from Buttheads?
This would be from Buttheads Tobacco Emporium. This Camacho Havana is
official sponsor of Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. Butthead's tobacco. Smoke up, kids.
Smoke up, kids.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah, we just lost all our fans in Manila. Thanks, Sean.
Do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Listen, I'm thinking our fans in Manila got more to think about than kids smoking. I'm just saying.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show does not promote smoking among minors in any country. But, so Gigi, yes, I did go, and I went and saw the Narnia Prince Caspian film. Prissy P and I went, and we paid $21 to get in, and I paid another, like, $20 for popcorn and soda and stuff, so.
Oh, you got rooked with the popcorn, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. $10.50 for a large pop, or, no, what was it? $11 and something for a large popcorn and a soda, a large soda. And that was the combo. That was
this
the money
is
saver.
Ridiculous. All this movie, the way the movies are gouging people. Like
at this point, we have the big screen TV in the house and the DVD player. I'm just waiting for everything to come out on DVD. That's it. I'm going back to my old ways. I tried to go back to the movies because Gigi convinced me they were worth going back to. But at this point, no, I can't do it. It's paranormal. Unless somebody goes out and investigates why these films are costing so much, and if they come back and tell me it's because Mel Gibson needs another $50 million, that's it. I'm giving up. I'm just walking away.
Well, you know, everybody needs an extra $50 million every once in a while, man.
Of course. You don't have $50 million just laying around? Psh, come on.
Well, I do, but I don't flaunt it.
I know. It's in my wallet right now.
Yeah. It's in my wallet. All $50
million. I got my check from the people of Manila. Thank you. I'm just saying.
Sean, I see some marketing here. I see you on a Coke ad or something in Manila.
I know. They're priority. But you know what? The people of Dublin, Ireland, apparently they listen to us, Gigi, and I thought maybe I would get some kind of check from them since I am their same blood, you know, and nothing's happened so far. Apparently they're just too liquored up to send me a check. Guys, you could send that to the Ghost Man, Sean B., at...
We're serious.
We are serious.
Gigi, I understand that after the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, you're working on another little project now.
I'm just like, yeah.
Nice little segue there.
Yeah, that was slick. I like that. Yes, actually, I am working on a little side project. After I get done on G&D, I'm usually so amped up, so worked up from talking to you guys, I got to let loose somehow, and I thought smashing mailboxes wasn't the best idea. So I decided
to... Yeah, we're still paying off Sean's way of releasing that energy after the show, so...
Yeah. You can make those checks payable to the Oaken Bucket Bar and Grill.
The mailboxes weren't that expensive, but his bail was really...
Yeah, bail money is what cost you. No, so I actually started to do a little one-hour little variety show where I talk about all sorts of crazy things. So it's called the Gore Girl Variety Hour. It's kind of nuts. Yeah.
And it's available on Blog Talk Radio.
Do-do-do. And what is that? BlogTalkRadio.com.
BlogTalkRadio.com.
Or it's GG Show, actually.
So
that big.
This is like a link. Shameless plug.
I promised her a shameless plug, okay? Let it go, Sean. Let it go.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of fun because I talk to you guys, I get all amped up, and I don't know what to do with myself, so I figure I just blab on for an hour about useless.
So you have your friends all come over while you're still in the towel.
And exactly. It's like a frat thing, you know.
There you go. There you go. Very
Lisa,
nice.
Lisa, can I have another?
And you guys get to all be in the same room. You don't have to, like, control it all from, like, several different...
See, this is nice. Because I actually, yes, I don't have to, like, call across country and bring everybody on. So it's nice.
That's nice. I wish I could do that. I really do.
And you know what, Nathan? Not to, like, say anything, but do you know that Blog Talk actually updated their stuff?
Yes, so I know that now, Gigi, because we download our show every week to Blog Talk, and they updated everything just in time for us to have already moved to another channel and no longer be broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio.
They're great.
Even to Blog Talk. Well, you know, it's probably because of you guys why they did that.
That's
they're
right.
Like,
they were very upset that they lost the live broadcast of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
They're probably like, look at how big G&D is, and we let them go. Okay, let's start improvising our software. Maybe they'll come back.
They said you were hung, and they was right.
But no, now they get the – we were like, what, the kids in the hall to Ghostly Talk? Now what am I? I'm like –
No, we're the Colbert Report to Ghostly Talk's Daily Show. So at this point, you're the
retarded cousin.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking like the redheaded stepchild of, like, I don't know.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
But no, I'd say you're more the root of all evil now. We're going with a very comedy central kind of motif here. I can't imagine why, but.
I don't know why.
I am. I do kind of. My show is actually a little bit more evil. Yeah, like I talk about murder and death and things like that. So.
Okay.
And killing me and Nathan.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I caught it.
I'm like, you know what gets me really worked up is thinking about Sean's head in an ice bucket.
Well, you know that's not too hard to imagine because Sean's head is in a bucket just about every night. So
that's true. Usually after the falling, right after falling, the Ghostman departure.
So Gigi, tell us a little about this week's movie.
Well, I wanted to ask you. I was actually going to ask you. Did you see the first one, or did you?
I did. I did see the first one. I did read the first book. I did read the second book. I haven't read any of the books following this, however. So everything from this point on will be a mystery to me.
Mystery.
Well, I do want your input on this, Nathan, because you've actually went and seen the movie, and it's a rare occurrence for you to go see a movie, so
that's
I do
right.
want your input on this. But this Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, it's directed by the same guy who did the first one, Andrew Adamson, based on the second book, so good stuff. Like you said, you read it. Basically, what we got here, kids, is the Pevensey children are once again summoned back to Narnia.
One year later.
Yes. By the title of the character, Prince Caspian. Which, by the way, what is his accent supposed to be?
I do believe that it is supposed to be Spanish.
Is it supposed to be? Because I've been trying to figure it out, and I'm like, it's just...
It's like a mix of 15 things. There are several Spanish influences in the film, including those helmets the guys wear. They're very conquistadorian. And...
Yep, conquistadors, yes.
I'm wearing a helmet right now, guys. Guess which one it is. Spanish or...
I'm looking for that mute button, Gigi. Don't worry, I'm looking for it.
I'm just saying.
Won't say anything. But basically what happens is they're summoned back to Narnia, and the whole tagline for the film and what they've been running through the commercials is, you know, 1 year for the kids in real world is 1,300 years later in Narnia. So basically all their friends have passed on and things like that. Narnia's been taken over by the Telmarines. Basically evil humans, which, did you notice this theme through the movie? I was like, God, you know, this just shows you, you know. humans, you know, this kind of like viral infection that destroys everything in their path.
They got a shot for that.
But yeah. So they've taken over Narnia, and it's up to the kids to bring back freedom to Narnia, which seems to be the common thing that goes through these movies. But pretty much, you know, battles galore. It's kind of like, if you think about the Lord of the Rings trilogy, it's like you got to the second one was all this build-up battle stuff, and it's like, oh, here's the big clinching battles. So that's pretty much, if you think about in that kind of text, that's pretty much what this is. It's all these build-ups, these battles, these lessons that need to be learned. It's a lot grittier, a lot darker than the first film. The first film was actually sort of, you know, fantasy fair, where you're like, ah! This one, you're like, ah! You know, and you actually just want to see heads roll. You're like, I don't know how many times I was rooting for them to just chop off every head of the Telmarines. I was done. I was like, kill the humans. Just kill them all. I was like, just kill all the humans. It'll be a better Narnia if you just get rid of the humans. But I don't know. There is one thing I have to say I did not like about this movie. Well, besides the humans interfering in Narnia. Ben Barnes, the guy that played Prince Caspian, I did not like him at all. I was like, really? Really? Like, how many times are you going to go through the film? I am Prince Caspian. In your, you know, little flauntish accent. And I have not read the book.
Well, they needed him to say it several times so that he would... Now I'm Dracula, sorry. They needed him to say it several times so that they could pick and choose from which one they were going to use for the commercials.
There you go. We need you to say Prince Caspian 50 times so we can find the best one. But we're not going to tell you that we're putting all 50 in the film. In a row. I don't know how many times he turns around. A tree. I'm Prince Caspian. A rock. I'm Prince Caspian. Like, he's off talking to people, telling them he's Prince Caspian while there's a battle going on.
What was that one show? I am Antonio Montoya, and you killed my father. Remember that?
That would be Princess Bride, and it was Antonio Montoya.
What did you call it, John? Antonio...
What did I say?
Listen to you. I just right away went to... See, look at that. I don't even listen to you, Sean.
You killed my father.
I heard the first part of what you said, and I was like, oh, Princess Bride, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ghost Chaser
said there's a good movie out there called Debbie Does Narnia. Did you guys see that by any chance? Our listeners are sick, man.
Well, did I tell you that they came out with a movie called Zombie Strippers, which is supposed to be like Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror in Grindhouse?
Yes, you did tell us that.
Yeah, it stars Jenna Jameson.
Well, every movie
needs
Jenna Jameson.
There you go, Sean. That one's for you, buddy.
I'm going.
I'm paying $10.50. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, pretty much that's what I didn't like about the movie. I didn't like this kid. I mean, I know he's like a play actor and everything. That's great for him. And I'm glad that, you know, he's branching out and trying to, you know, get his feet wet, so to speak. But I don't know. I didn't read the book. So I'm going to have to ask you, Nate. I'm going to have to refer to you this one. Was Prince Caspian a total... Oh, what word can I say on air?
You don't have to. In the book, it didn't stretch that far from the book. I kind of felt that he did have a very pompous character in the book.
He was kind of an arrogant, kind of one of those people you just wanted to hit when you first saw.
Yeah, you know.
I thought he had a very supple bottom in the movie, and it came through, and supple.
Sean was just looking for a way to talk about bottoms, but
you know what? I got a fart machine. Maybe I should bring in a laugh machine because apparently the two people I do the show with don't laugh at my jokes. So apparently I need a laugh machine. Yeah.
Well, I laughed at that one. That was good.
Supple bottom. We're used to laughing at you, Sean, not with you. But
I know, it's like dead silence when I crack a joke on this freaking radio show.
You're killing me, Sean. Now I'm cracking up. God. No. No, I didn't like the guy. He wasn't entertaining at all. Usually if you're an actor, you try to like somehow engage the audience, somehow bring, even if your character is a bad guy, there's something engaging about you. There's a spark. There's a something around you, an aura, if you will, that pulls people towards you. Him, I'm like, really? He was the best that you had out of everybody? Come on. So I don't know. I wasn't
like
for
Nate,
that.
He's got this thing around him like Pigpen from Charlie Brown series. Remember? He's got like this cloud that follows him.
It's called Sean Burris. But...
Oh... I think that's a Jell-O wrestling match right there. But no, see, remember when I was talking last week about the first movie and the religious tones and things like that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. No. Well, I mean, you still have that in this movie, and I know quite a few people that were crying during this movie and making sort of biblical references and things like that, but I think it's really neat. And like I said, I'm not a big fan of being beat over the head with it, but, you know, right from wrong, the whole moralistic thing, the whole, you know, defend your people, you know, I'm really into that chivalry, the whole medieval kind of feeling. But my favorite has to be when Tilda Swinton comes back as the White Witch for that brief moment, and it's the devil.
A witch?
Oh, yeah. Witch. Yeah, definitely. And it's also the line that's in there where he keeps saying, things don't happen the same way twice,
exactly.
Which is a biblical reference to the first exactly. coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. So
exactly. It's kind of amazing to see, but the whole thing with Tilda, that whole scene just blew me away. It was like, it was perfect. The way it was set up, the way it was constructed, the feeling that you got watching it. I mean, my God, that was a great scene.
Can I just say one thing, guys? I never understood, and your opinion means everything to me, but I never understood how people do that. Like the second coming of Christ, and this means this, and this means that. Like they said Star Wars, George Bush was freaking Han Solo or whatever. I mean, why can't it just be a movie, you know?
Because I never understood it. Some people look deeper than that, Sean.
Oh.
So, you know, like when you meet a woman, I like to find out her name before I go any further, where you just want to know her cup size. And there's a difference there. And
that's usually before I meet her, thank you, Demon Hunter.
Usually you don't meet her because she saw you checking out her cup size. But
Sean's got her sister. That's his superpower. If this were a Marvel movie, that's Sean's superpower. He knows every girl's cup size before he approaches her.
That's what I do, folks.
Well, hello there, Double D. How are you this evening?
Say hello to the twins for me.
So, Gigi, wrapping up.
Did I even talk about the movie? I don't even know what happened. No, I have to say, though, Eddie Izzard was hysterical. Everybody, you just need to see this movie because he is funny. Oh my God, he is funny. He plays the voice of one of the Narnians, and it's hysterical. I mean, just the things that happened, I was cracking up. Everybody loved him. It was great. But I love.
Was he the mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wasn't a huge fan of the mouse because the joke of "Yes, I'm a mouse" was getting a little old for me.
See, I just like it because Eddie Izzard has that weird British kind of humor. And there's a couple things in there that I was like, oh, God, that could be taken somewhere else.
Now, the gentleman who played the dwarf I found hysterical.
Really? And see, I just kind of was like, eh, he's all right.
Do you know who made
an appearance in this? Warwick Davis. I have to say that. Warwick Davis, and he's like one of the most infamous, I don't know the correct word for this, and I don't want to. What's the politically correct way to say that?
Is it
little people?
Ah, Willow Peck.
Dwarf.
He played Willow Peck in the movie Willow. But it would be dwarf. He would be a dwarf, yes.
A dwarf, there you go. Okay, well.
A gnome. Gnome.
He was in Willow. He was in the Star Wars movies as one of the most famous Ewoks. He was the Leprechaun from the Leprechaun series. I mean, Warwick Davis is huge. He's been in, like, everything. And
I'm sorry, Warwick Davis is huge. Just caught me totally off guard there. Okay. But, okay,
you
Gigi.
You guys laughed at this. Warwick Davis is never going to come on our show.
You got to understand, I'm a huge fan of Warwick Davis. The fact that he could put up with Val Kilmer for the entire filming of Willow Peck gives him points for me.
I can't stand Val Kilmer. That's all I got to say. Somebody needs to take him out and put him out of misery.
But he's,
whatever.
Sean's not making jokes anymore because we're not laughing at him. I laughed at Gigi's joke and not Sean, so he's mad now.
Apparently, I've been phased out of the equation here, folks.
You didn't see the movie.
Okay, our fans of Manila, put a vote. Is Sean not the funniest guy ever? He's the funniest guy in Manila, we know for sure.
I know.
No, oh my God. All I'm going to say is I liked this movie. I liked certain characters. The certain things that were annoying after a while, like what you said, Nathan, about what annoyed you, what annoyed me, you could overlook that. I like darker. I like grittier. I like when you take something that had a sort of an innocent tone at first and start to get really deep and start to get, you know, into the whole greed and corruption and tainted heart of everything. And basically,
girl,
man,
girl.
When you introduce humans into the equation, then we got problems. Any movie that you introduce humans when there's not humans there before is just problems.
Well,
problems yeah,
that, that's true. That's true. So how on a scale of 1 to 10, Gigi, how many 5-minute appearances of Icebound Evil witches with their 5-minute appearances do you give it? I don't know.
That
was a long one.
I'd say that 10 times fast, yeah. I'm going to have to give it – I want to give it a 7 because I wasn't overly impressed. But actually, I think everybody should go see this. I think it was a nice little companion piece to the first movie, and I think everybody should see it if you're a Narnia fan or if you just want to see something kind of neat.
All righty. Well, I can't argue. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first one more, but –
Yes, I did too. I think the first one blew this out of the water by far. But as far as the piece, why not? And Sean, I think you should make a joke about that word. But...
One ring to rule them all.
See, I knew. I was coming. That's hysterical. I like
that. I'm just saying.
All righty. Well, GG, we have to wrap it up and go to a quick break. We're going to take a break and listen to, who are we going to listen to this week? We're going to be We're going to be listening to Amarak with their song Fire, and you can find them on GarageBand.com.
Amarak. Okay, guys, we got to wrap it up. So get ready for Brad Steiger. He's the author of so many books I can't even mention, but he's going to be talking werewolves, ghosts, aliens, and shape-shifting and much, much more. So stay tuned.
Sounds fun. Thanks, guys. Everybody go see Prince Caspian.
Thanks, Gigi. We'll talk to you next. Oh, actually, there won't be a show next week, Gigi. We're gonna take the holiday weekend off. I'm going ghost hunting with Brian from New Jersey Ghost Hunters, and we're going down to Fort Mifflin. And Sean's gonna take the weekend off.
Mifflin, and I'm going to nude sailing.
Sailing. So I look forward to hearing what happened on your hunt. And, Sean, I definitely want to hear stories from the nude sailing.
I'll tell you. Hoist the mane.
All right, Gigi. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Later, baby.
Go ahead, Sean. Say it.
Stay tuned.
Stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.
What's your favorite?
When you thought you'd seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2008, crawling with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of 1,000 Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
This is Chip Coffee, psychic and medium, and you're listening to the amazing Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Amazing Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Does this mean you're talking to me again, Sean? You're not mad about everything that went on? I got to tell everybody before we get started, we do have some impressive guests tonight, so I'm just going to play our little Bonnie clip here on how they can call in if they want to talk to the guests.
Okay, excited. Well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081 followed by the pound sign.
That's right, and if you're going to ask a question, you just have to press 1-1 when you want to ask a question. Otherwise, I just think you're calling to listen in. So, Sean, who are we talking to tonight?
Well, I got to tell you, look, brother, I'm very excited because we have Mr. Brad Steiger on. And like I said before, guys, this cat has wrote so many books about everything from paranormal to the unexplained. And he is live in the house with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter tonight. So, Mr. Steiger, how are you tonight, sir?
I am fine, gentlemen. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here, because I figure the fact that you're on the show means you probably hadn't heard of us before, because that's how we usually get our guests.
But you know what, Brad? Your list of books that you wrote is so amazing. I don't even know where to start. I mean, I've met a lot of people that have authored a lot of books, and you've wrote them from everything from werewolves, ghosts, aliens, demons, shape-shifting. All I can say is how. I mean, did you know as a small child that you wanted to be a paranormal author?
I guess so. Because it took, I guess it wasn't until I went to school that I realized that the rest of the kids weren't seeing the other people in the room that I was seeing. So, I guess grew up in a haunted house. It was on the site of the former stagecoach stop. And we had an incredible array of phenomena there. We would hear horses and carriages in the middle of the night. We would see entities dressed in period dress and so forth. And, you know, like all small children, I was a little frightened at first, and sometimes the pounding on the wall would get to me, but none of them ever hurt me. They just seemed to be looking at me. So that's kind of the way I've gone through life, and because of that, some of my early days of going out, actually going to other people's haunted houses, I found that not all ghosts are so nice. Not all are so pleasant. Some will lay hands on you. Some will strike you. Some will lift you in the air. Some will try to push you down. Some will shout and scream at you. So I've
so basically, it's like being in a room with Sean. Because he's tried all those things with me. So
he does.
I do, Brad, but I got to tell you, me and you have something in common. I, too, grew up in a haunted house, and I'm going to bore everybody with that story. Actually, I'm not going to bore them again with that story. But so how old do you think you were when you started experiencing these things, and did anybody else in your family have these visions, or could they see the things that you've seen? I mean, was the whole family experiencing this haunting?
Yes, my sister saw them. She's 4 years younger than I. And both of us have insomnia. And we feel that probably the result of it is being awakened so many nights by strange sounds, by people, you know, leaning over and looking at us in bed and waking us up and so forth. Both of us are kind of afflicted with inability to sleep or even to nap. Of course, that's another reason why I get so many books written, see, because I don't sleep.
See, I'm an insomniac, and all I get done is a lot of TV watching.
Well, that is tempting, I suppose, but why watch TV when you can create your own stories?
That's true. That's true.
That's absolutely amazing. But, Brad, I didn't know this about you, but you said you traveled to people's haunted homes. So are you a ghost hunter, sir?
I don't like to use that word probably any more than anyone who's seriously going out, but it's become a title, you know, that
right.
I suppose a police officer doesn't like being called a cop either, but, you know, it's a name that has stuck on because of the popularity of certain mass entertainment. But
right. Yeah,
we used to go out a great deal. Now, not so much now that I'll be, you know, I'm in my 73rd year, so I'll leave that, some of the exploration to you younger guys. But I am flooded. You know, I get 300 emails a day, and that always providing good information, and then I develop a correspondence. We have the questionnaire that we've been distributing since 1967. Over 40,000 people have filled out that questionnaire now. So,
now, how many, with 40,000 people filling out that questionnaire, how many times do you get one back that's just somebody, you know, playing around with you?
I think only once did I really get one from a Weisenheimer. Otherwise, the people have all been very sincere. And, you know, if that's the way the person wanted to spend his time and waste his energy, you know, judge not. But, no, I would say that I can only think of one that I thought was a Weisenheimer. All the others are answered very sincerely and in depth.
Well, I got to tell you, Brad, I apologize for that. I was just trying to get you on the show. No, I'm kidding. But man,
so that was you, huh?
Yeah, that was the one. But you've done so many great things in this community, and the books that you've wrote are gold. Everybody should run out and buy your books right away.
Excuse me for 1 second. Written, Sean, the books that he's written.
I'm sorry. What did I say? Wrote?
Yes.
Terrible. That's terrible. Indiana, who's your learning? But you know what, Brad? Let's talk about werewolves. That's a big, hot topic for me. I love talking about them. I know you've wrote a book about the werewolves and shapeshifters.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. I mean, do you think they exist with us in this universe? I mean, do you think there's actually something like that out there?
Well, you know, it's a very strange thing. When we would not have evolved as a species, if it had not been for the wolf, if it had not been for the partnership which we formed with the wolf, we wouldn't have made it. We were down to roughly 70 humans at one time. And if it wouldn't have been for the wolves taking pity on us, blending with us, we began to pattern our lifestyle, pattern our relationships, pattern our marital relationships, patterning our form of government, everything, and to the American Indian, the wolf is the great teacher. So in ancient prehistoric times, one sought to be a wolf. You did the dance around the fire, imitating the form of the wolf. You howled like the wolf. You wanted to be the wolf. Then as time progressed, and there became a formal Christian church, and people began to watch other people at night practicing the old religion, deciding they were wolves. Now it was suddenly evil to want to be a wolf and to be like a wolf. Now we have the shapeshifter that shamans investigate and that shamans work with. I used to teach a seminar in spiritual shape-shifting, how one could become, and I'm a member of the wolf clan of the Seneca tribe. So I correspond with a whole network of brother and sister wolves who employ spiritual shape-shifting, who have as their totem guide the wolf. And, right. You know, it's a powerful thing. As far as someone actually, now I've talked to a number of individuals who speak of the Chindi. In fact, I wrote not a nonfiction book. This is one of the few novels, fiction works I've written called the Chindi. And the Chindi is that spirit that possesses coyotes, wolves, other animals, and they walk on their hind legs. They walk human-like. But again, they have the great spirit. And then, of course, we have the skinwalkers. That is another name for the werewolf. But we look upon tribes of the Native Americans, and we forget that we European Americans, we also came from tribes. We also had totems. We also came from the wolf tribe, the bear tribe, and so forth in Europe. So the idea of identification with a totem animal is universal, and it can become extreme to the what we call, which is a mental malediction, lycanthropy, in which one believes he becomes a wolf. Now, I know many families, at the time of the full moon, they have to lock a member of their family in a room. They bring him or her only raw meat. Their eyes become bright red. And this is an affliction that these people have gone through in many cases for generations. So your question cannot receive an easy answer, I'm afraid. It's a wide range of concepts that enter into it.
I understand, Brad. I do. And you know what? That's just like most of my questions. There's no answer to them. But, you know, with the werewolves, I've watched many documentaries. I've read several books on the case. And I know there is an actual psychological condition that people right. believe they are werewolves, you know, during the full moon or whatever. I know there's right. a condition where people have hair all over their body, stuff like that.
Right. That's completely another area, of course, yeah.
Right. I did meet a guy in New Orleans. I did meet a guy one time in New Orleans that swore he was an actual werewolf. He said that he was one of the first clans that came over from the old country and that there was a whole pack of werewolves in New Orleans, and it was very intriguing to speak to the man.
We disproved him, though, by showing that Sean had a hairier back than he did, so.
That's true.
I was in a documentary with that fellow, and what I would like to see then is transform for us, please, and then we will film it, and that would answer that question once and for all whether one can actually transform.
Now, if somebody could actually transform like that, though, you don't think they'd really do it for you on camera, because they're shortly thereafter be a whole bunch of government agents down there ready to tie them up and throw them in the back of a truck.
Well, I've had many people who are going to send me film of their transformation, but somehow those films have never arrived.
You get lost in the mail.
But the whole idea of spiritual transformation or becoming one with the wolf in terms of spirit, that is a very real thing. That is a very a thing that many people take very seriously, but it's done in a positive way, of course, not to leap on someone and tear out their throat. And strictly speaking, you know, even though they're remaking the Wolfman, with Benicio del Toro, who kind of looks like a werewolf without makeup. they're remaking it with Benicio del Toro, and it's patterned on the Lon Chaney Jr. film Wolf Man. And strictly speaking, as you know, a werewolf isn't a wolf man. There is a werewolf completely transformed into Spina the Wolf. So that's why the people who walk around with lycanthropy, which, as we say, is a mental disease, I hate to use that word, or mental illness, or mental state of being at any rate, they literally believe they are. And then there are those, as I say, I know the generations, college friend of mine, who is now one of the head nurses at a mental institution, says, you know, they cannot get people to work at the full moon. I mean, they're all that's what, you know, like with the police, when they have blue sickness, then they have the psychiatric social worker sickness. And they can't get volunteers because of what the full moon does to some people.
Well, I'll
but
tell you.
But then you read formal reports in which they say, scientists say, no, that has nothing to do with it, people. But anyone who works at a hospital, anyone who drives an ambulance, anyone who works in those social services knows that the full moon does affect people.
Oh, I used to work in pretty much a hospital for emotionally disturbed and mentally disturbed teenagers, and I worked the night shift, and nobody wanted to work full moon nights.
Right.
In fact, nobody wanted to work two nights before the full moon or two nights after. If you could take a vacation each week, you wanted to take that whole section off.
That's exactly right. Those 4 days, that's when people suddenly call in sick. They don't want to work those nights.
Now, Brad, when you've wrote as many books as you have, I mean, what's next? What's around the bend? I mean, you've covered just about every possible paranormal phenomena out there. I mean, it's got to be tough looking for new material, you know?
No. There's always so much to explore. There's always a new horizon. There's always new areas. And, of course, you know, in terms of new, I mean new approaches. So what I'm working on right now is another ghost book, and then I also have a contract to do another monster book, and this will be covering the complete gamut of monsters. And then Sherry and I together, just, you know, because we call our website Mysteries and Miracles, we have a beautiful, beautiful book of angel miracles coming out for Christmas, so we kind of balance, you know, the mysteries and miracles. I think that's a good title for our website.
I think so. And I wanted to ask you, because you guys do deal a lot with the angelic aspect of the paranormal, stuff like that. When we're doing EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and we're out in the field, how much do you think are angels maybe speaking to us? I mean, do you think these are just the departed, or do you think maybe there are angels that have came down? They're just communicating. Maybe.
You know, that's the biggest question that mankind, one of the biggest questions mankind has to face. And just as it says in the holy books of all religious expressions, test the spirit. And because they can sound like beautiful angelic beings, they can lead you on, but, you know, that's when they take that sharp 180-degree turn and you find yourself in very bad areas. So test those voices. Test the spirit. Be certain you're working with a good side. That's my book, Shadow World, you know, has all kinds of examples in there of how to test these entities. Be sure you're working with those who are on the side of light and not the side of darkness.
Now,
because
right.
they're
now,
out there.
Absolutely. Now, you deal a lot with, I mean, you've spoke on demons and demonology and stuff like that. What is your definition of a demon?
Well, I choose to use primarily spirit parasite. Because the minute you say demon, and you can't help it, you know, you're thinking of that little girl turning her head and the spewing people. We think we think automatically, and this is no criticism, it's just the way we're conditioned. If you say demon, you kind of think of the Roman Catholic Church. We think of the priest. We think of exorcism. So I prefer the term spirit parasite, an entity that's probably never been human, but can possess a human, especially when we're vulnerable. When we're vulnerable and you say, well, I won't invite a spirit in, but we can do that in many ways. Of course, when we're subject to alcoholic haze or taking drugs or several types of addiction, sexual addiction or eating greed, we can do it by lying. We can do it by being deceitful. That invites these spirit parasites to come in and possess you.
Now, how do you feel about the aspects out there that are with transpossessions, people who invite these evil forces inside of them?
Well, it's flirting with disaster. It's definitely flirting with disaster. You have to be very well trained, very well experienced before. And I've been privileged to work with some of the greatest trance mediums of the last 100 and some years. They're all gone now. The ones that are currently popular, I'm afraid, I'm not going to name names, but I would not put them in the same category as some of the trance mediums of the past that I have worked with. But they train themselves. They have really conditioned themselves, and they've studied. And it's the same way with those people who call themselves ghost hunters. I mean, you have to know the literature. You have to know yourself. That's the most important thing, or you can find yourself in a very, very difficult and treacherous spiritual situation.
We had somebody on the show not too long ago who really recommended that these ghost hunters and paranormal investigators start changing their name to explain a little bit more what they are, and some of them out there are really paranormal explorers, similar
right.
to these people who are urban explorers, who go out and
right.
investigate, but you know, don't really have the experience or the knowledge to go too far beyond that.
That's right. The whole idea of hunting, of course, is a primitive concept at best. To say that you're researching, that you're exploring, and when people say, "Well, Brad, you're an expert in the field," I say, "There are no experts in this field." We're all learning. We're all experiencing. We're all exploring. We're all students of this field. There are no experts.
I had somebody call me an expert once. I had to almost smack him. I was like, I don't want people to start calling me that.
Well, you know, that's the thing, Brad. A lot of these people go into these homes and they see these different types of hauntings and all these things going on. And I know the paranormal community has taken a beating here lately. About the lack of professionalism or the not knowing what to do on the next step during
That's
a paranormal
right.
investigation. And I don't know. Nobody's professional.
To go into homes with any claims that you're going to help people working with a haunting situation and
right.
you have not studied, you are not familiar with the literature of the field, you have not prepared yourself. You know, that would be like a first-year medical student performing brain surgery on somebody. You know, it's just going to be dangerous to all parties concerned.
Well, you know, I kind of wouldn't mind a first, you know, year brain surgeon going in and working on Sean. But we might get some improvements out of it, you know. Sometimes even a young mechanic can really tune up a car.
But,
so, Brad, how much effect do you think the media has really had on what people think is going on out there compared to what really is going on out there?
You know, it's just, that's like asking how much effect you think the media has had on the current political situation. How much do you think it's had on the presidential campaign? The media, we've confused information and entertainment. We confuse news and entertainment. I mean, we entertainment, you know, we're more concerned. Oh, I mean, you know, there are young boys and girls dying over in Iraq, and we're more concerned with whether Britney Spears has her underwear on that day. I mean, it's the
she wore underwear today?
And look at, you know, we all the shows that are on. And, you know, I try to tell those people, I know it probably feels great for your ego, you're on television, but you aren't convincing anybody. They're using you. They're using you for entertainment. And where's the evidence? All we have is cameras, and we sell pictures walking through, and it looks kind of spooky. And we say, well, I think there was a bump. Yeah, I'm sure I heard a bump. And then that's the end of the program. What did we prove? What did we see? What evidence was there? You know, these people are just being used by the media. And pretty soon, the media will get tired of it, and then there will be no paranormal programming on once again.
Yeah, it does kind of go in spurts there, but we're going to actually.
Oh yeah,
have to...
when I started going in the 60s, there were no programs.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no programs to go on and talk about the paranormal. Now, of course, you know there's an incredible amount of attention paid to the paranormal.
I was lucky to find books in the 80s that were credible, But, you know, every few years it spurts up, and then we have it for a while, and then it disappears. We're actually going to have to wrap up in just a second there. I wanted people to get the chance to know where they could find your information, though. Brad?
Well, they can go directly to our website, which is very easy. It's just bradandsherry.com, and that's S-H-E-R-R-Y, and spell out and, no ampersand, spell out and, A-N-D. So www.bradandsherry.com, and we'd love to have people come and look at the website. We have books, information, we have techniques, we have how to protect yourself from negative entities. We have a storehouse of information.
Well, we will definitely get that information out there as best we can for you, Brad. And thank you so much for joining us this week.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Hopefully you'll come on and do something with us again someday.
Well, that would be my pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks again. Good night. So, brother.
All right, Demon Hunter. Are you guys ready for this? We are going down south deep on the bayou. That's right. Ghostman and Demon Hunter talking to the real-life vampire up next, Belphazor.
Belphazor coming up next.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy, sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
The American Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunt at Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk Radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
This is Robbie Thomas, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Stay tuned, because they rock.
All right. Well, we are back. We are bad. We are the Ghost Band Demon Hunter Show.
We rock at the Ghost Band Demon Hunter Show. But I just got to say, Demon Hunter, a lot of the times we talk to a lot of interesting cats. But tonight on the G&D Show, we are proud to bring the real-life vampire guys from the streets of New Orleans live in studio with the Ghost Band Demon Hunter. So, Czar, what's going on, brother?
Not much. It's a beautiful night and the moon is full.
Yes, it is.
Now, does,
I can't...
does that affect vampires at all?
It can. There's a lot more energy flowing during the full moon, so vampires, especially the psychic and elementals, definitely get to have a little bit of fun.
Right, right. Now, what I want to do, I want to jump right into it, Czar, because we only got a half hour. I wanted you on for an hour. Things didn't work out like that, so we definitely got to have you back on. But when I called you and I seen that you were a vampire and everything, you said, hey, brother, I'm going to break this down for you. I'm going to tell you about the different types of vampires. They are real. They're out there. For our listeners, Czar, could you break it down? Tell us what a vampire is and the different types.
All right. The working definition for a vampire in the vampire community is somebody who is afflicted with an inability to create the excess energies you need to get through the daily lifestyles. You know, it's harder for us to get through a day-to-day business because we just don't have the energy for it. So we have to pull that energy from an outside source.
Now, you've tried taking vitamin B. That just doesn't work for you?
Actually, I've gone through a barrage of tests and vitamins and mineral supplements and exercises and focusing devices and psychological treatments. And, yeah, I've pretty much gone the whole route, which most of us who are outspoken in the community have gone through.
Okay. And, I mean, is this like a problem with the mitochondria in a person's body, or they just don't know yet?
They just don't know yet. They like to tell me that I have an anomaly in my bloodstream, but they don't know what the anomaly is.
Okay.
Right. Now, you know what, Czar? Back in the old days, of course, people would dig up a corpse. And we all found out now that, you know, they would dig them up and they would see blood around the lips. So the lips would be red or whatever. And we found out that the nails were growing, stuff like that. That's a natural process of
decay.
Decay, absolutely.
Yeah, that's just a natural process. So,
absolutely. So, that has nothing to do with vampires, correct?
That has nothing to do with vampires.
Okay. Now, would you say
no eternal life brought about from being a vampire?
I think that first came about in myths and misconceptions. A lot of us that are in the vampire community seem to remember previous lifetimes. So remembering these previous lifetimes, and then thanks to that good old drunken Irishman Bram Stoker, we have the whole eternal life thing going on. And back then, the church picked up on it and started spreading it even more. It was a way to control people. It was a way to get them into the church and out of the streets where the demon vampires could get you.
Right, absolutely. Now, you know, I always tell people stories, Czar, because when I went down to New Orleans and I was walking down the streets, I went, of course, to the Haunted History Tours, right? And I did that, and then they used to put on a seance. And I remember when I walked outside the seance, I seen this beautiful woman right across the street. I mean, the mist was coming off the street. The lamp was coming down on top of her, and she was just staring at me, almost like she had black eyes. And I always thought to this day, well, I always wondered why she was so attracted to me, because it doesn't happen every day that a woman's staring at me that intently, you know.
So, of course, Sean thought he was lunch. So.
Right, right. Well, I thought, wow. This chick is hot. Now, I heard when I was down there, there was a thing of vampires, a community or whatever, and they had attacked some tourists. Do you remember this story?
I remember the story. There's been a couple of incidents like that. Actually, if you go on the Haunted History Tours, they actually have a whole list of vampire tours where they take you through New Orleans' vampire history. So,
right. Like the old pirate.
Huh?
Like Lafferty's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. I had a couple beers with you guys in there. But, I, you know, Kalila, and you actually worked for the tour group, correct?
Once upon a time, long ago.
Okay. And I know we did that. I think you might have actually took me on my first tour when I was down there, I think, because I seen your picture and I kind of matched it up. But you know what? The magic there, it just puts this thing into your head about all these vampires, and you have the vampire balls, and people just don't understand. They're afraid they're going to be the next meal. And what, talking to you, what I've gotten out of this, that's not the truth.
No, I mean, actually, in the vampire community, we're actually a lot more ethical than people like to give us credit for. Take me for example. I'm a sanguine, and I'll use a donor. I have a safe donor that I use that, you know, I feed from, who offers freely their gift.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking about how, like, ethical you were talking about you being, and now you've come on our show that's just totally ruined that image for you. So.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't amused by it, okay?
Right. Well, you know what, Zart? We were talking about the different types of vampires, and, of course, you have already stated the type that you are. How many different types are there? I mean, what's the names?
Oh, you have sanguinary, like me, who are blood drinkers. You have, now I'm going by the old terms, what they used to mean, all right? We got a faction in the community that likes to change terms every 6 months. So you have the sanguinary, you have the psychic, who feed on energies that everyday people give off. Sometimes they have to link with a person, sometimes they don't have to link with a person. You have elementals, who can feed on the elements around them. You have pranic, who feed on sexual energies that are very touch-based, sort of like sanguines are. And then you have what we call eclectic, who are a combination of all of those, or adaptive, like I've had to do when I don't have a safe donor. I had to adapt to other ways to feed to get my energies.
Now, where do the Ventru and the Nosferatu and the Gangrel fit in this?
Let's get this one out right now. We have nothing to do with Vampire the Masquerade, okay?
Okay.
If you guys want to watch Kindred Be Embraced, that's fine and dandy, but at least learn about the real community, too, which you two are actually doing. So there's
these different types, and there's a church.
We have church as in the old sense of the word. A church was a haven first.
Okay.
A church was a haven for anybody who had like thoughts, like abilities, like presence. So the Vampire Church at www.vampirechurch.com is literally a haven, a safe place for people who want to meet others like themselves.
Okay. So is that's what you guys do? It's kind of like a social club, then.
It's kind of like a social club, yeah. Some people get together at yearly meetups. We have one that usually takes place down here in New Orleans called the Endless Nights. You know, and then we have the Dracula's Ball, of course, and we got all kinds of little parties around the country now.
Now, Zar, I got to tell you, what do you think about the sexual attraction of vampires on chicks? Because I got to tell you, it's going to be easy for you to pick up chicks, you know what I mean? Because they love vampires, you know?
Well, here's the funny thing.
Teach me.
Me being openly gay, yeah, I have, like, a lot of chicks that throw themselves at me, but come on now.
You know, I don't think that has
just not fair, man.
Sean, that has nothing to do with the vampire. One of my last roommates was gay, and like we'd go to a bar, and of course every girl in the place would go to him. So
that's just the thing. They like see sister and go. Ah!
Right. Well, you know, they say Demon Hunter's still in the closet, and one day he might come out on the show. I know.
Wait, excuse me one second there, Zar. I have to.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
There was nothing wrong with what he said. I just wanted to bleep him out for a second.
But you know what, Zar? That's totally not fair. You got all these chicks throwing themselves at you. Here I am, a straight guy that's not a vampire, but I do a radio show. They're just not there, man. So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
But see, that's where you have to wear your credentials on the outside. I don't have to wear my credentials on the outside.
Now, that's right. Even when you're going out to meet
somebody. You guys are paranormal investigators. That is an attraction all itself. Girls like mystery. Guys are never a mystery.
Yeah, it's true. But I still want to be a vampire, so I...
We're born this way.
And what is the thing? Why do you think the attraction is there? Why did things like Vampire the Masquerade come out? And I'm going to be a little bit of a geek here and bring up Vampire the... what is it? The Resurrection or something like that. It was the second book that came out because it was so popular. And yeah, there's all these books that are coming out and movies that make them look very... makes the whole thing seem very sexy.
If you actually take the time to read Bram Stoker's book, Dracula was an ugly mother. Pardon my French.
We gotta beep that out.
Yeah, I'm just checking the time on that one. 1:42:58. I'll bleep that one.
What are you gonna do? We got the Dark Knight on the phone, man.
We lost the question. We had somebody calling in with a question there, and I was gonna pick that one up. So if you were calling in and you want to call back, give it a try there, and I'll bring your question on.
But you know what? Sorry, you mentioned the vampire ball. What's that like? I mean, how is that when you go to that party? Is that what's it like?
It's, for a vampire, it's like a family reunion. We come into contact with others like ourselves, and it's instantly family. Whatever bitterness, rivalry, house going on, we all set it aside for these little gatherings, and we just have a good time reveling in ourselves.
Right. Right. Now, is there any blood sharing or anything like that here? I've heard a lot of stories. I had a friend once.
No. Actually, in gatherings like that, it's kind of a faux pas. You don't want to do stuff like that because you don't want to end up, you know, overindulging in public and finding that your donor is sitting there like half bled out because six other vampires decided to drink on him too. You know,
right.
It's not a good thing. It's one of the things that we frown upon in the community, and every elder in the house sits there and says, let me say this, if you do this, 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 and this at this gathering tonight, you probably won't be in the house much longer. So
right.
Each house has its own set of rules, and we have a code of conduct that we follow, and even when we get together, we have a code of conduct that we follow.
Right. Now, Czar, we got questions coming in from the chat room, as you could imagine. This comes from Ghost Chaser and wants to know if you sleep in a coffin.
Oh, God. do you know how uncomfortable it is to sleep in a coffin for a claustrophobic? Come on now.
I've never...
I do, however, know of a few vampires that find it erotic that they will sleep in a coffin just to impress whatever piece of fluff they're trying to get with that week, you know.
Right.
But I'm not one of them. I'm basically a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy, and I do tarot readings in Jackson Square, and I also work for Voodoo Authentica. You know, you don't want to sit here and run around doing all this hocus pocus hooey booey to impress people if you're actually working to try to help people.
Absolutely, and that's another great topic, Czar, that you brought up, because I've been talking to you about Voodoo Authentica. Could you go into that a little bit and tell us about that and kind of what you guys do there?
Oh, Voodoo Authentica is a great place. It's one of the best places I've ever worked in my life. The energy here is just so overwhelming, and it's all about healing and security and safety. We work towards providing people with an assurance of that. We have all of the seven African powers. We have altars to all of the seven African powers. The owner of the shop is initiated in Haitian voodoo. She's actually the goddaughter of Mama Lola from Brooklyn. So we got all kinds of stuff going on in here that's just all about being good and all about doing the right thing. We kind of remind people that there is a karmic kick, so you want to kind of do the right thing.
And for some reason, we seem to have lost... Hold on, let me see if I can get them back here. And we're back on the air. That should just about bring us back so everybody can hear us. And we're here with Balthazar. Welcome back, Balthazar. Czar.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
I was going to say, I want to place an order for a Nathan or Demon Hunter voodoo doll. Could you send that right out?
Well, you know, things. It's funny, Czar, because I have gone through being joked at for years because I have a condition called polymorphic light eruption. And what this is I'm basically allergic to sunlight. So so I'm always pale. I don't go out in the sun. Sean makes fun that every piece of clothing I own is black. You know, it's so I've got people have been making
black
fun of
is great for absorbing energy.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to wear black sometimes.
But you know, yeah. So people have been joking, calling me a vampire for a long time now. So. You know, and they, I don't think they mean it in a bad way, but it's one of those jokes I just get.
Yeah, I was there for a long time, too. I actually fully awakened at the age of 13, and that's when
Czar, are you still there? Okay. More fun, ladies and gentlemen, more fun. Let's see what I can do here to fix this. Okay, wow, nothing like having a show just stop in the middle of everything, huh, folks? Makes for a lot of fun. Somebody keeps trying to call into the off-hour line, and even though it's not supposed to go through and affect our phone lines, it is, and it keeps messing up our time with our guest here. So, yes, I'm trying to bring our guest back right now, Sean. I don't know what... This has never happened like this before. We've had... a few little interruptions in the past, but
we have the Dark Prince on tonight, and they to mess with the phone.
Okay.
Well, we still have 8 minutes, Czar. So let's try it. Let's hope this doesn't happen again.
Hey, Czar, I got to tell you what though. Me and Nathan had been working with Kalila, and we're thinking about going down there maybe around October or whatever. Now, when we come down there, we're going to try to set up like a live radio show to do outside the Haunted History Tours or whatever. You think maybe we can all get together? Maybe you could take us and show us some of the sights and sounds of the vampire community?
Sure.
That would be interesting, man. I would love to see that because everybody has these things in their head, these images of how they think the vampire community is. And I found out when I was actually looking for a vampire to come on the show that they're right here in Indiana. They're in Pennsylvania. They're all over the place, different types of vampires. And it could be that you're working with one and not even know it.
Well, let me give you a little bit of my history. I'm originally from Kokomo, Indiana.
Yes, sir. A fellow Hoosier.
And if you actually ask a lot of the vampire community, there is a Native American heritage that is shared somewhere along the line.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. All of us are part Native American somewhere along the line.
So at what point – let me get a little personal, Czar. And you know I was going to do this. You know I'm an airhead. So I'm going to ask you, how do you feed? I mean, are you comfortable talking about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm comfortable talking about it.
Okay.
Well, first I'll let you know that it doesn't take me a lot to get the energies I need. It usually takes me about an ounce of blood. At my most hungry, it's taken me 6 ounces. But I usually clean the area really good and make sure that the person's comfortable with it. And then I turn around and make an incision with either an X-Acto knife or a scalpel that I have that's very clean. And I just drink the blood. Sometimes I use a shot glass. Sometimes I pour it in wine. Sometimes I just go straight from the person, depending on how erotic we are.
Right. Now, you say erotic. Now, that does have, of course, vampirism plays a huge role with sex and that feeling that you get. I mean, is that an erotica kind of thing?
Sometimes, depending on the connection between the vampire and the donor, there is an erotic connection.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that, and it's portrayed in a lot of the movies and films you see on vampirism, but they never go in detail like you have tonight.
And it could be a sense of, like, the penetration that takes place. Is that the erotic part of it, or is it the actual drinking?
I just want to say, most of the women that's been with Demon Hunter have never felt that since.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever actually used your lips to caress somebody? it can get a little erotic.
Okay.
I have.
Nobody cares, Sean. Nobody cares.
I'm just saying I'm well on my way, you know.
Sean, I'll lend you some black clothes. You can pretend you're a vampire, okay?
Belfazar, let's talk about this again, but slowly, okay?
But again, it's all about the donor's safety. I actually came up with something called the Donor Bill of Rights because of abuses we heard throughout the community. There has to be an acknowledgement of the gift that the donor gives us, and there has to be, we have to make sure that our donors are taken care of.
Right. Now, what you do is, and I think, I don't know if you explained it earlier, is it, do you guys ever use like, is it like intravenous? I mean, you just bleed them out, or is it, like you said, you use the scalpel just to cut a main artery, or not a main artery, but...
not a main artery, no.
Right. But you can cut pretty much anywhere, or is there certain spots on the body that are, possess more energy, possibly, or...
There are certain spots of the body that produce more energy, but my favorite feed zones are along the back of the shoulders, in the deep of the thigh, right above the chest. Little spots where I know that a small nick isn't going to actually do anything to the person.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I'm just intrigued by this because, you know, down in New Orleans, people have made fortunes off writing books on you and different types of vampires and stories. Of course, they went off on the long end of the stories. But you came on, you talked to us about, I mean, you're a regular guy, Czar, and that's what blows my mind. I mean, you're the guy next door. And
most of us are the people next door. You get the occasional that get locked into the lifestyle, but most of us are just mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and everyday workers. We are real people. We're out there. We're working to make sure everybody knows that we're trying to be ethical.
Now, Czar, if people want to get your information, where can they find it?
They can actually find me on MySpace at MySpace/Belfazar. I also have a House of Mystic Echoes website on MySpace, so they can come join there and find me and converse with me on a daily basis.
Right, absolutely. And I tell you what, we got to get you back on this show, Czar, because people are already saying you should have had the full hour. But, of course, because of scheduling, we didn't get the full hour in there. So will you come back on the show soon?
Sure.
We'll book some more time with you. Somebody does have a specific question regarding the community within NOLA.
Okay.
But they don't say the question, so we're probably not going to have time to get it, because by the time they get this question, we're going to have to be wrapping up the show. So that's going to have to wait for when you come back. But you gave them your information on where they can ask the question to you personally. On your forum, so your chat room. So if you can actually stay on the air for a second, Belfazar, we will take this chance to wrap up. And we'll thank everybody for joining us here for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show tonight.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. There you go, guys. Belfazar from the streets of New Orleans, real life vampires. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums because we want to hear from you.
And don't forget to check it. If you've missed any part of this show, well, heck, we've missed parts of the show ourselves because of the phone tonight. But if you missed any part of this show or any Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, you can check us out at Planet Paranormal, Podcast Alley, Podomatic, where we download our show every week, iTunes, Blueberry, Metafly, Podbean, Podcast Pickle, and Podcast Planet, and My Pod Feed. So join us next week. Oh, no, join us. Don't join us next week because we won't be here. I'll be ghost hunting at Fort Mifflin, and Sean will be, nude sailing?
Nude sailing
next week. So, but come back in 2 weeks when the Ghostman and Demon Hunter will be back, and we'll have something special for you.
All right, guys, you got it here first. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Whoa. 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 Who Yeah.